Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
The fire services have been dealing with gorse fires over the last few days in counties Wicklow, Cork and Kerry at a time when the emergency services are already dealing, obviously, with the consequences of the coronavirus crisis. On the line now, Darren O'Connor, sub-officer with Dublin Fire Brigade. Darren, good to talk to you again. You're usually with me in studio.
Good morning.
We've had obviously very dry conditions these past few weeks. Do you think many or perhaps even all of these fires are deliberately set to clear land?
I wouldn't like to make a comment, Sean, on whether they're deliberately set to clear land or whether they're actually set deliberately with people out in the open. There is a period for controlled burning that farmers and landowners are allowed to burn, and that runs from the 1st of September to the 28th of February or 29th of February of the year, respective. And then after that, then obviously down to nesting periods and stuff like that, they're not allowed, persons are not allowed burn on land, you know. Farmers generally, you know, are really well controlled in how they burn, burn scrub and waste on the land. You need quite controlled conditions, you need dry conditions, you need little wind. You know, one of the things I would say is, from my own experience as a firefighter, you know, in open areas, some of these fires appear near trackways and near pathways, and generally they're usually matched with what we call a high level of human activity. You know, if you get dry weather, you get noise days, you get people out on the hills, people exploring around, you know, campfires, barbecues, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't like to cast any kind of accusation around farmers, whether the fires are started or whether they're started by people out on the land, because I wouldn't have that information to hand, you know. But they generally do coincide with a period of dry weather, little wind, and they're usually around trackways and places that are visited.
I suppose people will draw their own conclusions from that particular context setting that you've been giving us there.
Couldn't say one or the other, you know.
I suppose the upshot of it is, or the bottom line maybe, is that, you know, you've had to direct resources to deal with this kind of thing when you've obviously got better things to be doing.
Yeah, like the fire services around the country, like, you know, predominantly around the country, forest services are retained forest services, so the firefighters have jobs, that they work in the community, they live in the community, and they respond to the station on pagers. And, you know, in a period where everyone, you know, needs to be maintaining social distance and self-isolation in certain areas, you know, firefighters are being brought out into the unit as well. Is, you know, a lot of people are at home at the moment, and primarily the job of the fire is to protect life and property, and these resources are being dragged away to these fires where, you know, they're really needed in the community at the moment to be on call, to be there, to respond if there's a domestic fire, if there's a person in the local area, you know.
Yeah, and how are you faring out? Unfortunately, the line is deteriorating, Darren, but I was hoping you might be able to tell us about how you've had to adjust your modus operandi in recent times. I mean, have you had to change rosters, keep people... people, if they're in the ambulance service or in the fire service, they can't really work from home, can they?
No, well, in Dublin Fire Brigade, obviously, is unique. We run a fire EMS service and in conjunction with our colleagues in the National Ambulance Service. So basically on station level, just to give you an idea of what we've done, so the on-phone crew is segregated, where normally they would meet in the station at a changeover period. Well, that's changed now, so the off-phone crew are segregated away from the oncoming crew, so there's no cross-contamination that was coming on. And then we have we've an increased level of cleaning around the stations as well. So the fire stations are like a house, so,
yeah,
you know, they need to be cleaned, they need to be maintained, so extra clean and extra duties around the stations. In terms of PPE, we've a logistics section in the city centre. They have this kind of set up a mini distribution centre. PPE is being issued on a need basis daily to control the stocks. And then basically crews are out there, you know, in full PPE dealing with confirmed cases and suspect cases each day. And so the workload on crews at the moment is quite substantial.
Right, but they have all they need, have they, by way of equipment, if they're transporting patients with symptoms?
Yeah, well, our logistics, it's kind of on a week-to-week basis, you know. Supply lines, obviously, at the moment are quite critical. I know consignment came in last night, but the supply lines we would work on, they're quite critical from week to week. At the moment, we have enough, and it's, you know, again, our logistics section on a daily basis would be looking at an inventory of stock. But it is quite intensive on the use of PPE because obviously wear two pairs of gloves, face shields, visors, goggles, aprons, etc. And then obviously the cleaning solution, that with the decontamination of the ambulances, takes place after contact with a confirmed case or a suspect case.
Yeah, and some good news yesterday, Darren. 8 people rescued in Mulhuddard. What happened there?
Yeah, I was actually at it myself. Just after 9:30 yesterday morning, we responded to reports of fire on the top floor of an apartment block just outside Mulhuddard village. And when the crews arrived, the first crew arrived in Blanchardstown, they were met with a fairly intense, well-developed fire on top of the staircase, and which led to a number of people being trapped on balconies. So when we arrived with 4 appliances, a turntable ladder, a number of senior officers and ambulances from ourselves and the National Ambulance Service, we actually managed to rescue 8 people from the balconies. 4 people were taken to hospital, 3 adults and a child, and 1 female, unfortunately, sustained burns to her hands heroically to get through the fire with her baby, which she succeeded in doing.
Well, good for her. I suppose generally with so many people at home for so long now, they've nowhere to go, literally. There must be an extra concern about house fires. I mean, bits of equipment,
yeah,
charging and so forth.
There would be. We've actually been pushing it on our social media page, on Twitter and Facebook as well. You know, the message we would always put out around the use of electronic equipment. Again, obviously, there's a lot of kids at home now, there's a lot of adults at home, people working from home, laptops, tablets, phones being charged, etc. You know, if you say to people, be mindful again, check in with the fire safety messages, do the usual before you go to bed at night. Give it a good check, close all the doors, go to bed, maintain your escape routes, make sure your smoke detectors are working. And obviously when you're charging equipment, don't charge it on combustible surfaces, don't charge them on pillows, beds, bedside lockers or anything like that. Charge them on a non-combustible surface like a kitchen countertop or something like that, you know.
Okay, Darren, as always, good advice from you. Darren O'Connor there of Dublin Fire Brigade. We'll be talking about how to unpack your shopping safely after the break.